In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the second Sunday of Easter. It's actually the conclusion of what's called the octave of Easter. We celebrate Easter Day as if it's 8 days long, and also, of course, known as Divine Mercy Sunday. Every time we gather as God's people, we know we are journeying together in God's mercy, as well as united profoundly with the Lord and one another in baptism. Lord God of all mercy, you are present to us, your people. We recall the wonderful work of creation and, still greater, our redemption. We ask you to graciously bless us and bless this water. You've made water to refresh and make our fields fruitful and refresh and cleanse us. Water was the instrument of your mercy. You freed your people from slavery, and you quenched their thirst in the desert. Through Christ, water was made holy in the Jordan, that you have renewed our nature in a bath of regeneration. Therefore, may this water be for us a memorial of the baptism we have received, and may we share in the gladness of all of those, our sisters and brothers, baptized in Easter. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Chosen of God, home of infinite majesty.
God of everlasting mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal feast kindled the faith of your people you have made your own, increase in us, we pray, the grace that you have given, that we may grasp and rightly understand in what font we have been washed, by whose spirit we have been reborn, and by whose blood we have been redeemed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsorial psalm can be found in the inside cover of the hymnal. Give thanks to the Lord. Is wonderful in our eyes.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. The word of the Lord.
Victime Paschali laudes, immolent Christiani, Agnus redemit oves, Christus innocens patri, reconciliavit peccatores. Morses vita duello, conflicere mirando, dux vitae mortuus regnat vivus. Dignobis Maria, quid vidisti in via, sepulchrum Christi viventis, et gloriam vidi resurgentis. Angelicos testes, sudarium et vestes, surexit Christus spes mea, precedet suos in Galilea. Scimus Christum surexisse, amor tuis fere, tu nobis victorex miserere. Amen. Alleluia. Because you have seen me, says the Lord. Blessed are they who have not seen me, but still believe. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we're closing the celebration of 8 days of the octave of Easter and celebrating the second Sunday, once again, since the time of John Paul II, Pope, now Saint, this has been designated as Divine Mercy Sunday as well. And although I don't usually focus on that aspect, it really is a profound focus for the Easter celebration and season, because Christ's self-giving life, death, and resurrection that we celebrate in Easter and have been celebrating since last week is certainly mercy and the mercy of God. That is deeply a part of what this mystery is really all about. And yet the words and the experience of mercy and forgiveness, like many things within the Christian and the Catholic Church, have been oftentimes tamed, right? We've kind of numbed them down. And we oftentimes don't get to the real core gospel impact of what the good news and what Jesus is and proclaimed and we're called to follow in as disciples. And so we've oftentimes really missed the depth of this mystery of Christ's mercy and forgiveness. Quick apology, this may be a little all over the place for the next 4 things I'm going to talk about, but I'll do my best to pull it together for you, okay? And so, 2 things about the readings that have always intrigued me every time I hear them. The first one comes from the second reading we proclaimed this morning, and that is from the letter of John. And as it goes on to talk about following in his commandments and that he and we are victors over the world, it goes on to say, because the victor came in water and blood. Not just water, but water and blood. That has always struck me as very strange. But I think it says something profoundly about the depth of the mystery of mercy and forgiveness. You see, when we hear the word water, sometimes we associate that with baptism, right? But we think of, you know, right? Nurturing, cleanliness, right? That all seems pretty comfortable and kind, right? But then when you hear water and blood, you know that blood has an association of sacrifice, right? Of self-giving, of vulnerability, of life being poured out. And so when we're talking about the mystery of mercy and forgiveness, it certainly has an aspect of being clean and pure, but it always includes suffering and self-sacrifice as well. The other thing about the scriptures that always strikes me as a bit peculiar or odd, and it actually happens in all of the upper room episodes of the Gospels, but is emphasized even more so in John's Gospel. When Jesus comes to the upper room to where the apostles and disciples are huddled together in fear, he comes into their midst, he says, and he says, "Peace be with you." But he doesn't just say something. After he says, "Peace be with you," it says he shows them his hands and his side. He shows them his wounds. John's gospel goes even in more depth than this because it emphasizes that Thomas was not there. And notice Thomas's unbelief and what he says. "Unless I put my finger, unless I put my hand," and Jesus says, "Come here. Put your finger, put your hand, put it into my side." It's actually pretty graphic, but it's emphasizing that the risen Christ, the power of mercy and forgiveness, still has wounds, still has scars. And that is true of mercy and forgiveness in our lives as well, right? I don't know about you, but I've never left the confessional box and come out and said, "Oh, I no longer have that urge or tendency anymore," right? It's never happened to me, right? Maybe it has to you. If it has come up to me after Mass, I want your blessing, right? It's not happened to me, right? The humanity of who I am remains. The brokenness, the scars, they're there. They don't go away. And that's same for what we call the temporal effects of sin, right? Just because we're working on the universal sin of racism doesn't mean the scars, those marks have gone away, right? They still remain. They're still there. They're maybe being transformed, but they're still there. That's also the power and the mystery of mercy and forgiveness. Given myself the privilege during the Easter season to read a book. And it's a book I've been longing to read. Actually, I'm not reading it, I'm listening to it. I don't usually do that, but I'm listening to an audiobook. And it's a memoir by Brandi Carlile. Anybody know who Brandi Carlile is? I see three hands out there, four hands, a few of you, okay. Brandi Carlile is a singer-songwriter. She would be probably considered under the Americana tradition, right? Which is a genre of music somewhere between country and rock and roll. She was in her book, memoir, which is really kind of an autobiography, memorable autobiography. She's talking about, in one of her chapters, the album that they released, the band released. And the album is called By the Way, I Forgive You. And Brandi Carlile, in this book, this memoir, probably expresses a sense of forgiveness that is more gospel than I have ever heard proclaimed by anyone before, right? And that says a lot. This is the way Brandi Carlile talks about forgiveness as they were preparing this album. She says that forgiveness is misunderstood. It's become a word that's become patronizing, whitewashed, suburban, used more to vilify than to redeem. Kind of like she said when we say, I'll pray for you. When we say, I pray for you, what we're saying is, from my platform of purity, I will pray for your inadequacies. So don't ever say, I pray for you, right? Very similar, she says, when we say, I forgive you, we're saying, from my position of righteousness, I will accept you, even though you're wrong and inadequate, right? That's not real forgiveness. She says the forgiveness of the divine is radical. And says, this is her quote, I've seen trembling, filthy forgiveness bring light into a room like nothing else can. Then she goes on to talk about a story about her town in Seattle where an invader broke into a couple's house at night. Knifed, assaulted both of them. One of them lived, one of them died. The man was very emotionally deranged. The trial proceeded. He was convicted of all the accounts that were against him. And in the courtroom, after the trial had gone on for a couple of weeks, as the sentence was coming down, the survivor, whose significant other had been killed, and the family of the significant other spoke to the perpetrator and said, these are pretty much the words of the surviving significant other, said, I don't hate you. As a matter of fact, I feel sad for the circumstances in your life that have led to this, and I'm glad you will not hurt anyone anymore. And he was sentenced to life in prison because she wouldn't let them trial him for the death penalty. Right? I guess, as you might imagine, the courtroom was in tears at the power of trembling, filthy forgiveness that brought light into a place that light didn't seem possible. Last thing about mercy, divine mercy. This has been one of the cornerstones or showcases of whatever of Pope Francis's papacy. For the 10 years that he has been pope, he has emphasized over and over how the church needs to be a merciful people, that know mercy and share mercy. As a matter of fact, with one of his first years of his papacy, he actually designated a year of mercy, misericordia, right? The merciful year. In his first writing to all of us, the church, his first real writing that he composed himself, The Joy of the Gospel, he challenges the church not to be navel-gazing and self-referential and judgmental, but he challenges the church to go out to the peripheries, to go out to the marginalized, to go out and experience the world and those we might think or call or others might seem as unapproachable or sinful. He says that When we hear that phrase, Jesus is knocking at the door. He's not asking us to open the door and let Jesus in, but to open the door and to go out, to be a field hospital for those who are sick and suffering. In order to do that, we must know the profound depth of gospel mercy, right? Not the whitewashed, patronizing, from my place of righteousness or right purity, you know, I'll pray, I'll forgive you, right? Not that kind of forgiveness, but the forgiveness that's trembling and filthy and born of water and blood and still has wounds. We together profess one faith. I'm going to ask three questions. Response to those three questions is, I do. Do you believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, died, buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. This is our faith that we profess through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Knowing the presence of the risen Lord among us, his people, we offer these needs and petitions.
Please respond, risen Lord, hear us. With grateful hearts for the mercy of God, we pray. Risen Lord, hear us. For Pope Francis and his monthly intention, calling us to recognize the dignity and value of women as they face discrimination in many parts of the world. We pray. For all disciples, as we struggle to treat others with the mercy that God has shown to us, we pray. For those who are suffering the effects of natural disasters in our own country and around the world, we pray. For the grace to be a synodal parish that treasures the sacredness of listening with openness and respect to the thoughts of others, we pray. For our beloved who have died, and for Phyllis Bozick, Teresa Maslenka, and Anne Marie Shields. Who this week have entered the embrace of God's love. We pray. We remember John L. and Josephine S. Gitnick. And all the intentions present on the altar, along with those we hold in the silence of our hearts. We pray. Calling on the loving intention of our patron and mother, we pray. Full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Our offertory hymn is At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, number 536.
Pray, sisters and brothers, my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church. Accept, Lord, we pray, the offerings of your people, renewed by confession of your name and by baptism, we would attain unending happiness through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right just, our duty, our salvation, all times to acclaim you, this time above all to praise you more gloriously when Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Through him, children of light rise to eternal life. The halls of the heavenly kingdom are thrown open to his faithful. His death is our ransom from death, his rising, our rising to life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land and every people exalt and praise. We join the heavenly powers and angelic hosts, singing together the unending hymn of your glory as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, sending down your Spirit on them like the dewfall, that they may become the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed, he entered willingly into his passion. He took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Again, giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, we celebrate the memory of his death and resurrection, and we offer you, Lord, the bread of life, the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to stand in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking in the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Bring us to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, David, our Bishop, all clergy, and all who serve and lead your people. Remember also all of our sisters and brothers who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Saint Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, that we too may be co-heirs to eternal life, to praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Please rise as you're able. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy, we may be freed from sin, protected from all anxiety, as we wait the joyful hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Lord, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." You said this to your disciples after appearing to them in the resurrection. You speak those same words among us as we gather here today. The peace of the Lord be with you. We offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that our reception of this Paschal sacrament may have continuing effect in our minds and hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. May the blessings of Almighty God be upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. That's beautiful.
Our closing hymn is Jesus Christ is Risen Today, number 540. We will sing verses 1 and 4.